Could I ask you what the farm looked like?
Well, on our property, it was just half of it was cleared when my dad bought it, and there was a shack about halfway back there, and there was a bachelor that lived there. And my dad didn't build the house that far back, but he kept this shack, and he added to this shack, so he made it twice the size. And my dad had a chicken farm there.
Okay.
I should tell you that he went to the logging camp first because that's the only work there was around. So he went there, and in 1935 he decided that this was not for him. He had a family and he wanted to be home.
Mm-hmm.
And with my mom not speaking English, this made it difficult. So I spoke Norwegian to her, and English was my street language. There was a Norwegian family next door to us, and then this Norwegian family that was on the corner, so my mom wasn't completely isolated, and she managed really well. And when I got so that I could speak English well enough, she could manage quite well. But my dad decided he was going to start an egg or chicken business.
Okay, and this was in 35.
35. So he went to university at UBC, and there were no buses around there at the time, and so he had to walk up to Capitol Hill to catch the streetcar there, and then take the streetcar in Vancouver to, I don't know how he got to UBC, but he got there. And a lot of these courses were in the afternoon, like late afternoon. So anyway, he learned the business,
This was how to raise the chickens and...
Yeah, look after them and the eggs and,
okay,
you know, everything,
uh-huh,
to do with that. So anyway, he started this egg business, and he used this little shack for a brooder house. You know what a brooder house is?
Yes.
And he had the brooder in one half, and then he would order 400 baby chicks, and they were all supposed to be female, and you would get up to 12 roosters in this. Anyway, on the other side, he had his supplies and whatever for that, for the chick or the little chicks. And when those chicks were big enough, then he put them in the chicken house. And he had this chicken house separated into two parts. And in the middle, he had his feed and everything else that he needed so that he could just go from one end to the other. And he had the boxes for the eggs at the end closest to the center of the building. And underneath this, my mother wanted a cow very badly. So he had a barn built there for the cow, and he had two stalls so that when there was a calf, they could put the calf there as well. And then we also had a pig. And these, of course, the pig and the calf and the chickens were used for food. My dad would kill the chickens and the pig and the... Not all at once, but... And my mother would can it, or my dad would salt it. And something I forgot was that he also built a smokehouse. And this was made out of shakes, too. And it was the size of a little outhouse. And my dad did cold smoking. It was not hot. And this friend of ours that they had lived with, that was the fisherman, he brought fish to my dad. And my dad would smoke this fish. And it was absolutely beautiful. It was like jelly. It was better than any you can buy, because most of it is hot smoked.
Uh-huh. Would that be something that your dad would actually sell as well?
No.
It was just for your own consumption?
This was for our own consumption and for this fellow who brought him the fish.
Okay.
And my dad didn't sell anything other than the eggs. And during the war, we had all the butter we wanted, and we had to have butter tickets for butter because it was rationed. Well, we never used those tickets. And I think we had tickets for sugar, did we? I've just forgotten that.
That sounds likely, yes.
And I guess we must have used those, but this butter ticket we never used because we had our own butter. And we had Jersey cows. My mother wouldn't have anything else because that was the best milk and the best cream. And anyway, so we went with this chicken house. And then each spring, my dad would get another 400 chicks, and then he would cull out the ones he didn't want and move the rest of them to the other part of the building. And then at the back, he had a huge run for the chickens.
Okay.
And he had to cut down there were a lot of alder trees there. So he had cut, you know, the alder trees that he needed to cut, and of course that was for your winter supply for your woodshed.
What kind of things did you do on the farm to help?
Well, I didn't really help that much. I mostly stayed out of the way, I think.
you didn't have to go and collect the eggs?
Oh, no. My dad would not allow anybody in that chicken house.
Uh-huh.
Nobody set foot in that chicken house. In fact, when he went in the chicken house and the brooder house for the baby chicks, he had a basin of Dettol on the step there, and he also had special shoes, the clogs with the wooden sole and the leather top. And he would put those on and dip his feet in the Dettol mixture. He had a special coverall that he used that he went in, looked after these chickens. There was no way he was having any disease.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the same thing when he went into his chicken house. He had a different coverall and, you know, another basin of water there. And that's what he did. So he never got any disease. And if he saw a chicken that didn't look quite right, he would take that chicken house, and he had a small house that was like about the size of a dog house, but it had slats in it so that the chickens, you know, could see out and so on. It was probably twice the size of a good-sized dog house. And he would put these chickens in there. And we would have a fellow who used to come by, and I can remember he was very small, and he had a pole that he balanced across his shoulders. And then on each end of this, he had what I considered a huge crate. And he went around to all the people who had chickens and picked up the chickens they didn't want. Well, he went to my dad, and he said he wanted to take these chickens out of this little house. And my dad said, no, those chickens are sick. Well, that's all right, he said. I'll take them. No, my dad said, you can't have them. My dad never did give him any chickens. But, you know, in a day, he had to have those crates full. So he would come back a number of times to see if he could wear my dad down and get these chickens. But he didn't like to go back. And he carried those from there all the way up to the streetcar on Capitol Hill. You know, I can still see him. He had a real rhythm to him. And it was fantastic to watch him. You know, he danced almost as he went along. But that was an experience. I don't think I'll ever forget that experience. But, you know, we had a lot of rocks on the property. And I remember my mom saying she had come from the coast in Norway. And, of course, it was all rock there, except just very little greenery grew there. So she thought to herself when she left Norway that I should take a rock with me. I may never see a rock again. So she decided not to for some reason or other. Anyway, when she got to Canada, she said, "I'm so glad I didn't bring a rock. There are more rocks here than I can handle."
Well, what happened to the rocks on your property? Would they get collected?
Well, my mother built a rock wall all around the house because our property slopes. And that thing is still standing. It's still there. And we also had to have a driveway. Otherwise, we would have to carry the feed from the truck, from the road, all the way to the back of the property. Mm-hmm. And this was just too much to do because with 400 chickens and 400 baby chicks, you know, that's a lot. So my dad took the boulders and he built the driveway all the way to the back, to the chicken house, right to the steps. And I know the fellow, the feed man, he'd say, you know, is that going to hold this truck? Because it weighed, I don't know how much it would weigh, because it was full, that thing. And my dad said, you will not get stuck in this driveway. And he never did, and that driveway is still there, because I still own the front part of the property.
There's still buildings on that property then?
Well, no. The house is still there.
The house
because that the municipality wanted to sell the property that was at the back above us on Union Street. And so when they wanted to sell that, everybody else wanted to sell their property all the way down Union, and then they came to us. And so that property, the developer took those properties, and it was to be 120 feet, the depth. But apparently at that time it went by square footage. Mm-hmm. And so one piece of my property is 120 feet, and on the other side it's 119. And this is because they wanted a foot to make up the square footage on the properties at the back of our property. Well, they're on our property too, or what was our property. And so I said to them, no, you can't have that. By this time, my mother was dead and my father was dead. So I said, no, you can't have that. My lawyer said, no, you don't, because then, you know, you don't get the square footage and you don't get the 120 feet. So what they did was, the property beside us, when it was sold, that was divided into two lots at the front. And that property, I think, was 60 feet wide. I'm not exactly sure. But whatever the width of that property, they took 1 foot off the side of that property. So instead of having 100-foot frontage for an acre, I have 101.
Oh, so you would have your square footage.
That's right. So that's how that came
to be. So the back of the farm then was developed on Union Street?
Well, no, they put a new street in there, Hewitt.
Oh, I see.
And then Union is over further.
Okay.
But I think our properties, like ours and the ones on Union, went back to back because, you know, an acre is, what, 420 feet deep?
Okay.
I think that's right. And they backed this up so that there's no lane behind us. Mm-hmm. And then they built Hewitt, and they built houses down there. And then they also, I've forgotten the name of that other street, but Hewitt goes up, and then up at Phillips, it isn't called Phillips, I've forgotten what it's called. It's called something else that comes into Curtis. But, you know, we kids, we did whatever we could on the property. We picked rocks. We picked up wood. You know, just did all kinds of things like that.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
No.
No, you're an only child.
I'm an only child.
I just wanted to ask, when Hewitt Street, when that was created, do you know what year that was, or approximately? Is that in the 80s?
Yes, I would say 80s.